commence our worship of the Lord this morning by singing the words of Psalm 103, and they should appear on the screen beside us. Psalm 103, and we're singing from verses 1 through to 8. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. And we'll stand as we sing after the introduction, please. Let's all stand. Take your seats again. It's good to hear the Lord's people singing unto the Lord as we come to worship his worthy name. Let's all bow our hearts in prayer. Let's commit the meeting to him. Let's still our hearts and our minds, casting away all thoughts of the week that's happened and that which will come ahead. Let's focus our minds upon him and upon what he has done for us. Let's pray. Our Lord and our most gracious, eternal and heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come before thy face once more this day. We thank thee that we can say, like him of old, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And O heavenly Father, we thank thee that we come before the one true and the living God, the almighty God, the only God that there is, the Lord God Jehovah. And oh, we praise thee and bless thee and adore thee for thy greatness. For thou art the omnipotent, the omniscient, and omnipresent God, before whom is none other. Oh, so many men on this earth, they worship gods made with man's hand. They worship gods of stone and of bronze and of gold. And yet we have a greater God. We have a God who dwells in heaven. We serve a risen God, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And oh, how we praise thee, Heavenly Father, this morning for that very fact of the resurrection. O thou hast triumphed over grave and death. O Lord, thou art not a God of the dead. Thou art not some God that has come and died on this earth, but thou hast risen and liveth forevermore. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee that on that basis we can come before thee this morning. We thank thee that thou art still on the throne. Oh, we can think upon so many things that are happening in this land and in this world at this time. And we can worry ourselves and we can become distressed, and yet we should focus our thoughts upon this, that our God is still on the throne. Lord, thou rulest over all. O Lord, thou liftest up and thou takest down. We might be discouraged and distressed by what is happening in our land, and yet all is happening according to thine own decreed purpose. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give us the grace even to see that. So often we can become distressed and discouraged, even like those disciples out there in that ship in the middle of the sea, in the midst of the storm. There they were discouraged, and yet thou wast with them. Thou didst speak and the storm was still. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst even speak to us this morning. Perhaps there's some storm in our life. Perhaps there's some discouragement that has come our way. O Lord, thou knowest. We pray that thou wouldst be with us. We pray that thou wouldst give us help. We pray that thou wouldst give us grace, for thou art the Father of grace and the God of all mercies. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst be with us today. We thank thee especially for thy dear Son. We thank thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for that one who left the state of glory in heaven and came to dwell amongst men. Oh, we thank thee for thy life, that sinless life, for thou couldst not sin, and thou didst not sin. For thou was and art indeed the spotless Lamb of God. Thou wast even led like a lamb to the slaughter there at Calvary. Thou didst shed thy precious blood for such an unworthy sinner such as I. And, O Lord, it's already been prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And Lord, we thank thee afresh for ever removing those scales from off our eyes, for showing us our sin, for showing us a need of the Saviour, and even for drawing us lovingly unto thyself. O Lord, we pray even for those who might be with us this morning, who do not yet know thee as their own and personal Saviour. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst lovingly show them thy pierced hands, that thou would show them their sin, that thou wouldst even draw them unto thyself and into thy warm embrace. Oh, we do pray for those who are suffering at this time. Perhaps they're going through a time of sickness. Lord, strengthen them, we ask. They would love to be out here in the place of God, and yet they're in that bed of sickness. But we pray that thou wouldst even heal them, for thou art the great physician. Lord, we think of those bereaved at this time. Draw very near and very closely to them. Lord, thou hast promised that thou wilt not leave us comfortless, but thou hast promised us the Comforter. And Lord, to those who are bereaved at this time, may they even know the nearness of God with them. Oh, we ask even for thy dear servant, the Reverend Wilson, who's preaching over there in Donaghadee. Be unto him all that he would need at this time. Bless that service there in Donaghadee. Bless that work even. Raise up a man chosen of thee to serve thee in that corner of thy vineyard. And we thank thee even for this work here in Sandown. We thank thee for the presence that is here in East Belfast. We thank thee for the blessing it has been to so many down through the years. And Lord, we pray that thou continue to bless this area for thy name's sake. O Lord, we pray for the preaching of the gospel as it goes out week by week. May it even be unto those the savour of life unto life. Oh, we pray that we would even hear great stories of thy mercy and grace working here in this church. But now, Father, we ask that thou wouldst be with us. We desire to have thy presence amongst us. Oh, Lord, we desire thee to draw very close to us this morning, even as it were sitting in the pew beside us. May we know thy blessing upon all that is done and said here this morning. Now unto the King eternal, immortal and visible, and to the only wise God be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. If you could take your copy of the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament and to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter 9. This is a relatively short chapter, so we'll read it in its entirety. 2 Samuel chapter 9. It's only 13 verses in this chapter. Chapter about Mephibosheth. He's a character we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's all read and hear what the Lord has to say from his word this morning. Commencing at the first verse of 2 Samuel 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Amen, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired and infallible word to us this morning. At this point of the service, I'd like to ask our brother, Mr. Roberts, to come and make the necessary announcements for the week ahead. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we do bid each and every one of you a very warm welcome along to the house of God today. It's good to see so many gathered out, and we trust that each one of us will just know the Lord's help and blessing upon our lives today. Also, a very warm welcome to those who are watching online. We bid you a welcome also to our services today. And also a very special welcome to your brother, Mr. Andrew Irwin. We're delighted to have Andrew with us today. Our own pastor, as you may already know, is over in Donaghadee, a Free Church this morning. So, Andrew, you're very welcome. And we trust that the Lord will bless our young brother today as he's with us, and the word that the Lord has laid upon his heart may be a challenge and blessing to us all. Andrew's a first-year ministerial student in the Bible College and is from our Lisburn congregation. As a congregation, we do wish to express our Christian sympathy today to Andy and Anne McLaughlin on the death of Andy's brother John, and do remember this family in these days in your prayers, and also to Kyle and Anna as well. Anna was John's niece, so do remember this dear family in your prayers at this time of bereavement and loss. The services for the rest of the Lord's Day and the incoming week today at 2:30 in the afternoon, we have our Hollywood Sunday School, and then back in the church here at 6 p.m. for the prayer meeting. And then follows the gospel service at 6:30, and the speaker tonight will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, and the singers will be the Walker sisters from our Lurgan Church. Then on Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have the Explorers Bible Club. Do continue to pray for the boys and girls that gather into Explorers Club on the Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And then following that, there will be a meeting for our session at 8 p.m., please. Thursday night at 8 p.m. continues our Bible study and our prayer meeting, and our own pastor will be there on Thursday night. Friday, again, is our youth fellowship, and we will again encourage all of our young people to be out on Friday night at 8 p.m. for the youth fellowship. Next Lord's Day, Sunday the 13th of February, we commence with at 10:15 with the Sunday School Bible class, and then 11 a.m. prayer meeting, 11:30 a.m. morning worship service. The speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson. 2:30 again in the afternoon, the Hollywood Sunday School. 6 p.m., the prayer meeting. And then 6:30 p.m. next Lord's Day evening will be another one of our family and friends service. And we'll have a special testimony that night, Mrs. Gillian Gamble. And the singers will be Catherine and Ruth Mitchell. Do continue, please, to pray for all those who are still very unwell in our congregation at this time. Our brother Brian is home from hospital, and also Eileen Lewis. And do continue to remember Tom as well, who is home from hospital. And our brother Sammy and Richard are both still in hospital. So do please continue to remember them very much in your prayers as well. And also our sister Jennifer, how tremendous it is to see Jennifer out with us this morning. And do continue to pray for all of these dear folk. Our sister Maureen will be going into hospital on Friday, God willing. And so do remember these dear folk, those who are in hospital, home from hospital and going in. And there are many people in these days that really need our prayers. So do remember each one in your prayers in the congregation. Also remember those of our elderly and shut-in that are unable to be out to the house of God during these times. And just as we always note at the end, just remember, please, to place your offerings and your tithes in the boxes that are available as you leave. And at the end of the service, at the conclusion of the service, those in the gallery will leave first today. But all that remains for me to say is to Brother Andrew that you're very welcome. Please feel free. You're at home here and you're amongst friends. And we trust the Lord will bless you as you minister the word of God today. Lord bless you, brother.
I'd like to thank Mr. Roberts for those kind words of welcome. This is my first time here in Sandown, so it's good to put a few names to faces and see you gathered out here in the house of God. And I'd like to thank your minister also for the invitation. It was a bit of a last minute switch. I was meant to be in Donaghadee, but he asked if I could come here in Sandown and swap with him. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to come here and to fellowship with you here this morning. We're going to sing once more unto the Lord at this point, singing the words of hymn 360, and once again they'll be on the screen beside me. My heart is resting, O my God, I will give thanks and sing. My heart is at the secret source of every precious thing. And once again, we'll stand as we sing after the introduction. So sad.
Oh,
That's good singing, even if we were tested there with the second verse. The words were a bit slow in coming up. I was a bit fearful sometimes these days with technology. You can have some mishaps. And I was going to think there, this would be the third church in a row it's happened to me, so it must be something to do with me that makes these screens fail. So hopefully it won't happen the next time. But it's good to sing unto the Lord. But can you turn with me again in your Bibles to that portion we read earlier, to 2 Samuel and to chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll be focusing on verses 5 through to 7. And we'll be looking here at this man, Mephibosheth, saying there's really a good character to look at. There's much to learn from the life of Mephibosheth. And with the word of God open, let's just bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for being able to sing praise unto Thy glorious name. We thank Thee for these words that we have sung. We ask even that they would not just be the words that would come from our tongues, but even words from our hearts. O Lord, we thank Thee for being able to sing Thy praise, for Thou art worthy of all of our praise and acceptation. And now as we come unto Thy words, we pray that Thou would be unto me mind, manner, and wisdom. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, we pray. Give help to those who hear, whether they're here in the building physically or watching in online. Give them a hearing ear to hear, understanding heart to understand. Draw near unto us, we pray, in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. If I was to mention the following terms to you, I wonder would they mean very much to anyone gathered here. If I was to say T34 or T41 to 42, I wonder would anyone know what those mean. Perhaps you think it's a car make or model, or perhaps a motorbike, maybe some scientific name for a planet or a star. Maybe it's a room in a building like a hospital. But you'd be wrong if you were thinking any of these things. For in fact, those terms are classifications for Paralympic events, and specifically for those with limited or no function of their lower limbs. For those who cannot walk unaided, these are the classifications of their events. You might see them running there on the track with their prosthetic legs, maybe in the wheelchair in the 100 meters. Those are the terms given to them. And you know, these athletes, they're phenomenal. They have no limbs, and yet they're able to do probably what the majority of us, if not all of us, couldn't do with our proper true bodies. It's really incredible to watch them straining every sinew of their body, even with this problem. And you know, in the passage that we read this morning, we read of a man who would have faced similar problems. This man, Mephibosheth, he was lame on both of his feet. It says there at verse 13, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." He was lame. He couldn't walk. He had lost this function of being able to walk. And if you turn back with me a few chapters to chapter 4, we see why this is the case. For in 2 Samuel chapter 4, and in the 4th verse, verse 4 we read, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." Now, I'm sure we could all picture this event as it's happening. There she is, this nurse who's looking after him. She's heard Saul and Jonathan are dead in battle. All of the royal family are dead. Here's this royal son I've been entrusted with. I need to run away. I need to go into hiding. I'll take him on my back. He's on my back, and then all of a sudden he falls. And now he's lame. He can't walk. He cannot walk from such a young age. And you know, that's such a tragic thought of having such an accident. And this is something that happened to this man, Mephibosheth. And so this leads into the passage we read this morning in 2 Samuel 9. For David here is now king over Israel after the death of Saul. And he's asking, "Is there anyone alive from the family of Saul that I may show kindness to?" For he made a covenant or an oath or a promise to Jonathan that he would not kill his family, but he would show kindness to them. And so, upon asking this question, David finds, yes, there is one still alive. There's this man called Mephibosheth who is lame on his feet. And so he sends for this man Mephibosheth to come to his palace. And you know, this is such a warm and encouraging passage to read. We could go into the gospel from this portion. For Mephibosheth speaks of the sinner being brought into the family of God. But this morning I want rather to focus on him as a picture of the child of God and the benefits which we receive from the king. For this man Mephibosheth, he received so many benefits from the King David at this time. So this morning, let's think upon the benefits we receive from the king. And first of all, I want you to notice with me that like David with Mephibosheth, the Lord communes with us personally. You know, David didn't simply ask a question, is there anyone of the family of Saul? He didn't just pose this question and then leave it hanging there and do nothing about it and go, well, that was interesting to find out. No, he acted on it. Upon finding out that there was one of the family, he wanted to meet him. He wanted to commune with him personally. He wanted to speak to Mephibosheth face to face. If you look there at verse 5, we see this very fact. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. There he is. He's fetching him to come unto him. He wants to commune with Mephibosheth personally. Oh, just even look where Mephibosheth was at this time. He was in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And if you know what the meaning of Lodabar is, you would know that it means literally pastureless. Lodabar was in the wilderness, in the desert. And its name said there was no pasture in this place. There was no grass even for the sheep to graze upon. And this was the place that Mephibosheth found himself in. He was away from the place of blessing, away from the Lord, away from all the blessings of the king. Oh, I wonder, perhaps, are you in that place this morning? You're far away in that far-off land, away from the place of blessing. Well, this is where Mephibosheth was. This is the place that David took him from. Away from this place where there was no pasture, away from the place of blessing, to come into his palace. You know, does this not remind us of the fellowship we have with our King, with our God, the Lord Jesus Christ? He's brought us out of that place where there's no pasture, and we commune with him personally. Well, the child of God has a very close and personal relationship with him. We could think of so many verses in Scripture that tell us this. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with God the Father because he has brought us to him. Oh, we could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, and it says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. There is that communion personally we have with the Lord. And this is what David wanted with Mephibosheth. He wanted to be with him. He wanted to bring him to himself. For see there in verse 6, when Mephibosheth has come to David, we see in verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, Mephibosheth. Oh, he exclaims his name. Do you not see here, it's his personal. David had never met this man in his life. He only just found out he was alive, and yet he knew his name. The Lord knows us by name. Those who are saved according to his purpose, the Lord knows you. The Lord knows your name. The Lord knows your needs. Oh, does he not say, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine? The Lord knows you today. He wishes to commune with you personally today. Oh, didn't Hagar realize this at the well? She said, thou, God, seest me. Well, here's an encouragement for you this morning. God sees you today. God knows you today. And God wants to commune with you today. But then in the second place, notice also with me that like David with Mephibosheth, the Lord comforts us particularly. If we look again there at verse 6, we see in verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And then listen to these words in verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Oh, here's a word of comfort. There was Mephibosheth away in the pastureless land, brought before the king. Oh, can you not imagine his feelings? It's time I've been hiding, and now the king wants to see me. What's the king want me for? Why am I here in this palace? All these thoughts racing through his mind. And then David says, fear not. Fear not, Mephibosheth. There's nothing to be worried about. I'm going to comfort you, Mephibosheth. Yes, you're having this trouble and these problems. You're away there in the middle of nowhere. You cannot walk. You cannot help yourself. And we think upon that. He couldn't walk. What's that mean? He couldn't work. Even today, in this day and generation, if you have some disability, it's very difficult to work. If you can't work, you can't make a living. If you can't make a living, well, it's very difficult to survive. And yet David says, fear not. Yes, you have these difficulties. Yes, you have these problems coming your way. But yet I tell you, fear not, Mephibosheth. But if we think more particularly, what would Mephibosheth have been afraid about coming before the king? Well, we have to go back a few chapters. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3, we see something of Mephibosheth's particular concern. For in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and the very first verse that sets out the context of Mephibosheth's concerns. For in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and in the verse 1, we read, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So Saul, he had been slain in battle, Jonathan as well, Mephibosheth's father. All the royal seed had been killed. And then after Saul, Ishbosheth, he decided, I'm going to be king over this land. I'm going to take over. And so there was war between Ishbosheth and David. There was these battles that kept raging across the land, and this is what this verse is speaking about, how David waxed stronger and stronger. He was defeating the enemy. He was defeating Saul and defeating Ishbosheth. And I'm sure Mephibosheth, he knew all about this. He would have known, my uncle, he's standing against King David. Ishbosheth has been killed. I'm sure he would have heard of how Abner's host had fought against David and lost. I'm sure all these things were racing through Mephibosheth's mind. And he was thinking, why am I here? Why does David want to see me? Perhaps he's going to kill me. He's fighting against my family. He's fighting against my father's family. Maybe he wants rid of me. Maybe he'll put me in prison. Maybe he'll do worse. And Mephibosheth must have been thinking these things as he came to the house of David. And yet David says, fear not. Don't be afraid, Mephibosheth. I'm not going to kill you. In fact, I'm going to do far better. You're going to live with me. And really, we could think upon this in terms of the gospel. Perhaps there's one here this morning, you are fearful because you're in the house of God. Perhaps you're fearful reading the words of God, knowing that you are not right with him. And you know you're warring against him and his family. Well, he says, fear not this morning. Well, can we not think of that word which the angels gave when they came down to declare the Savior's birth? What was the first thing they said to the shepherds? Fear not. Well, there's nothing to be afraid of. The gospel brings great joy, and here we see the child of God can also find great joy. And really, this comes from the communion that David wished to have with him. He wanted to commune with him so that he could comfort him. And the Lord desires that this morning as well. How can we be comforted if we don't commune with him? Perhaps you're distressed in spirit and soul, and you find no peace. But are you close to him? Are you close to the Lord this morning? Well, David saw this anxiety. David saw Mephibosheth's worry, and he said, fear not. Oh, we know the words of that well-known hymn. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I know he will comfort us according to our needs. The Lord knows us. I've already made that very clear. He knows us by name and he knows our needs. Although there are so many verses throughout Scripture that tell us this. We could think of Isaiah 41 and verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. What did the Lord say to the disciples in the midst of the storm? There they were in the boat. They were sore afraid because of the storm. And he said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. The Lord says to us this morning as his people, be not afraid. Fear not, for I am with thee. There's the promise of God we have for him. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But then thirdly, I want you to notice with me in this passage that like David with Mephibosheth, the Lord caters for us plentifully. For if you look again there at verse 7 says, and David said unto him, that is Mephibosheth, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, not only did David comfort Mephibosheth, he didn't just bring him round to say, be not afraid, Mephibosheth, there's nothing to worry about, but he said, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to cater for your needs in my palace. For we read there, it says, he will restore all the land of Saul, and he will eat bread at his table. There's two things that he's promising Mephibosheth. All these things that he's going to give to him. And really this draws us back to what I just said. He was lame on his feet. He couldn't walk. He couldn't work. And now he's been provided the very best food from the king's table. I know we can think upon ourselves. We are so incapable in and of ourselves. We can do nothing without the Lord. And yet the Lord here is saying, I'm going to give you my very best. Is that not encouraging for us this morning? The Lord gives to his people what they need. David knew Mephibosheth needed this. And so he gave him even more than he could ever ask or think. But look there, he says the first thing he's going to do for him is to restore all the land of Saul. He's given him all which he had lost. And then he's given him more above and beyond what he had before because he's eaten at the king's table. Oh, doesn't this remind us of those familiar words in Psalm 23 in the 5th verse? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's a table. It's set wonderfully for us. All the food we could ever need, spiritually speaking. And then it goes on to say, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's not a cup half full. It's not a cup half empty. It's not a cup as I'm an engineer. I would say the cup was built twice as big as it needed to be. But it's running over. The cup is running over with blessings from on high. Oh, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And really this is what this teaches us today, this morning, that David is blessing Mephibosheth above and beyond what he could ask or think. And that's what we can receive today from the Lord. But really looking at this verse, there are three particular blessings I want us to notice that David gave to Mephibosheth at this time. And think very carefully upon these, for these are things that every child of God has from our king. Firstly, see that David gave to Mephibosheth an inheritance. He would restore unto him all the land of Saul his father. There's the inheritance. He should have got this by birthright. He should have, well, in fact, it's more than he would have got by birthright. Because this is the land of his grandfather. This is the land that Saul had. He would have passed it down to his sons, and then their sons would pass it on to Mephibosheth. And yet he has been promised all the land of Saul. Now what can we learn from this? Here was a forefather who had sinned against God. He had lost his inheritance. He had lost it because of his sin. And yet Mephibosheth is promised to receive it again. Does that not make us think upon the Garden of Eden? There was Adam. He had fellowship with God. He lost it by the fall. He lost communion with God. He lost the potential for eternal life and became damned and would die in his sin. And yet the child of God receives what Adam once had. We receive the promise of everlasting life. There is our inheritance that we will have in heaven one day. We will live forevermore with our King. I wonder, do you have that hope this morning? Do you have that hope of everlasting life? Oh, the gospel offers it to you this morning, but have you believed in it? Oh, the gospel says, he that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder what's keeping you from believing this morning. You can see here all the benefits that we can receive from the King. All these encouragements for you, and yet you're still in your sin this morning. Will you not come to him? He's willing to save you. He's such a gracious and loving and merciful Savior. And you know, David is a picture of Christ. And I hope you see this morning, the love and the care that Christ has for his people. For here we see the love of David towards Mephibosheth. You're going to have all this inheritance, Mephibosheth. One day you'll be able to enjoy it. Oh, but notice also that David gave to Mephibosheth a residence. He didn't just give him an inheritance to be enjoyed in the future, but he gave him a residence for the present. For he was to be in the presence of David in the palace, day by day, eating at his table. There he was, in the king's palace, in the presence of the king. And you know, if you are saved this morning, you too have the presence of the king with you. We've already quoted those verses that say that he will walk in them, in his people. He will be with his people. We have fellowship with our God. We can commune with him. And I believe this is one of the reasons why David wanted him to be with him. He wanted his presence. He wanted to be around Mephibosheth. He wanted to know him. He wanted to speak with him. And the Lord desires that from his people. And we have this great blessing of knowing that we have access unto him. We can come with boldness into the holiest through the blood of Jesus Christ. And like Mephibosheth, I'm sure Mephibosheth, had he needed anything at any time, night or day, he could have gone unto the king. And child of God, we can do likewise. We don't have to wait for a particular time of the day or a particular day of the week to come before our King and our God and to make our requests. For he is ever with us. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, take this to heart today. Know that he is ever with his people. We have a greater king. We have the King of Kings. Yes, Mephibosheth had the King of Israel. We have the one who is king over all. One who is sovereign and ruleth over everything. One who rules in heaven supreme. And one who knows all that happens on earth. Oh, he knows even the very hairs on your head. He knows every concern you have. But notice also that David gave to Mephibosheth not just an inheritance, not just a residence, but he also gave him sustenance. For he says there in verse 7, at the very end of it, he says, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, he was in the presence of the king. What a joy that was to him. But he would eat bread at his table. Oh, not just a meager provision, not just the scraps were for him, not even the food of the servants, the very best food he could get, the food of the king. I'm sure we can all picture in our minds what that looks like. There's the long table in the palace, all the food strewed out along the table. Maybe there's that pig with the apple in its mouth. We always think of that in royalty. We don't know, but there's the very best food, and it's Mephibosheth's. The very best was his. And child of God, the Lord gives to us the very best. The Lord doesn't give us that which is bad. The Lord doesn't give us that which will do us wrong, but he gives exactly what we need. exactly what you need for your time and your moment that you find yourself in now. Perhaps you're in that time of struggle and difficulty and you think, I don't need this. I'm having such a hard time. But you know, trials are needed. Peter says in his first epistle, if need be, that's speaking about being in trials, if need be, and they are needed. So often we think, why is this happening to me? It's to strengthen our faith in God. It's to draw us closer to Him. That's what we need at that time. It's not just the good things that are needful, but also the bad at times. But the Lord will provide us that what we need. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see what it says there? All your need. Everything you will need. Now that's not saying you're going to become a millionaire overnight. It's not to say you'll find life very easy, but everything that you need will be supplied by his grace. Oh, we won't lack for temporal blessings. We won't lack especially for spiritual blessings. But I want you to notice with me in the last place that like David with Mephibosheth, the Lord cares for us perpetually. For if you look there, the very last phrase of verse 7, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. This wasn't some fleeting promise that David gave to Mephibosheth. This wasn't a promise, well, you can have your food today and then you're gone. You can stay for a week and then I'm afraid, Mephibosheth, I'll have to kick you out. No, it was continual. Mephibosheth, you can stay as long as you are alive and you will eat from my table. There was an everlasting covenant to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, I will not cast you away. Mephibosheth, I won't ever tell you not to stay here, but you have it forever. Isn't that encouragement for us this morning? The Lord will not cast us off, for we are His. The Lord will care for us continually or perpetually. He will never leave us, but will care for us. It's already been prayed. I remember in the prayer meeting this morning, someone quoted those words, great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. It speaks of a continuance, something that is perpetual, something that is not changing. Oh, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is perpetually the same. He promised that to Abraham in the desert. He said, I am the Almighty God. Or rather, I am the all-sufficient God. And Mephibosheth here, he knew the sufficiency of David's supply. And we can know that as well as the child of God. Oh, there's so many examples we could turn to in Scripture. Can you think of Elijah there by the brook Cherith? He was pursued into the desert because of Jezebel. Out there beside the brook, day by day, the ravens came and brought him food. Even then when the brook dried up, he must have thought, well, what's going to happen now? But then the Lord provided that woman of Zarephath. And there he was sustained. He was cared for perpetually. Couldn't you think of Abraham out there in the desert, wandering from here to there, yet the Lord cared for him? Oh, there's so many times throughout Scripture we see the care of the Lord continuing and continuing and never drying up. And you know, we follow the same God of Abraham. We serve the same God as Elijah. And his care will still be perpetual to his saints because he doesn't change. You know, before the children of Israel came into the promised land, the Lord gave unto them a very encouraging promise. I've quoted it numerous times already this morning. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But if you just think for a moment when this was said to them, they'd come out of Egypt. They'd crossed through the wilderness. The Lord had delivered them from their enemies. The Lord had provided manna in the desert. He provided water out of the rock. He provided quails from heaven. He provided the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And saying, I will never leave thee. They'd had so much cause for joy and rejoicing. All these ways the Lord had cared for them in the desert. And here was a continual promise, I will never leave thee. And the Lord gives us that promise today, that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, but he will care for us continually. Whatever the trial is, whatever difficulty you have, we will be perpetually cared for by the Lord. Oh, the Lord presences himself with his people. He walks with the child of God. He wants to commune with his children. He draws us unto himself for that very purpose. And if you have any fears or worries this morning, oh, he will comfort you particularly. He will say those words unto you this morning, "Fear not. It is I, be not afraid." Whatever your fear is this morning, whatever your concern, won't you come unto him? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord will provide for you. Whatever your need is this morning, for he has promised to feed us with bread from his table continually. Couldn't we think there of the Lord's prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread"? It's not, "Give me this bread just one day," but it's every day. For his supply is never failing. His supply will never run out, just like his love. Or can't we see something of the love of Christ towards his people in this portion this morning? The care that he has for us, the concern that he has for us, the comfort that he has for us. Let's bow in prayer.